we've got a little background noise, so I'm going to take it off speaker right now and welcome all of you to this Passions of Rising Legends call. Tonight we have a very, very special guest, someone that Janet and I are very fond of and have the greatest respect for, someone who works with some of the most amazing, powerful, significant, and incredible people in the world, and I know that you're going to love this call tonight. I want to begin by welcoming our members of the Passions of Real Life Legends Club. And those of you who receive our recording, the recordings and transcripts of those calls, you'll be able to download those, the recording in about 48 hours and the transcript in about 2 weeks. Those of you who are not yet members, at the end of this call, I'll share a couple, how you can find out more and become members of this incredible series. I am going to turn this over to my partner, Janet Atwood, who is the cover editor of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and the author of the Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire, so that she can introduce to you our wonderful guest tonight. Janet?
Hi, Chris. Hi, everyone. So I'm so excited to introduce you to my dear friend, Pat Burns. I first met Pat through our mutual friends and clients, Mark Victor Hansen and Robert G. Allen. Pat manages the activities with all of their most elite clients. She's the founder of Advance Now, an international consulting business. Her impressive list of high-profile clients comes from around the globe. She is also the co-founder and executive director of the Orange County Children's Book Festival. Her marketing savvy has resulted in working with such major corporations as Time Warner, Radio Disney, PBS, state governmental agencies, national associations, hundreds of real estate companies such as Century 21 and Coldwell Banker, and with the International Trading Corporation in Vietnam and Thailand. Whether helping to develop third world countries, national organizations, or entrepreneur, Pratt brings her own special brand of uniqueness, natural good humor, and incredible positive attitude to every one of her projects. As a volunteer, she commits her time raising funds to end illiteracy. Her two daughters are now grown and living in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Vail, Colorado. And Pat is also the very proud grandmother of Dylan, whom she says is the cutest kid on the entire planet. Pat's book, Grandparents Rock, The Grandparenting Guide for the Rock and Roll Generation, will be released in spring 2005. Chris?
So, Pat, are you there?
I'm blushing.
Oh, good.
Hi, you two, my two favorite people on the planet. So
well, Pat,
privileged to be on this call. Thank you.
Oh, we're so happy. And I do want you to know, I would have gushed and gushed, but I actually got gushing feedback, and so I'm toning it down. But just want you to know it's great to have you with us tonight.
Thank you so much. And I'm honored to be here with all of your fabulous people from, I heard them, I was quietly listening, and many, many people from Florida. And I just send you lots of love in Florida, because my father has moved there about 4 years ago, and I get to go there frequently. So lots of love out to all of Florida. And then I heard from people in New York and Northern California and my home base, Southern California, and Australia, New Zealand. My goodness, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise is doing a fantastic job of attracting people from all over the planet. What a privilege
to be. Isn't that wonderful, Pat? You know, what we discovered is we have family everywhere, and we love that.
Yes. Yes, isn't that the truth?
Now, Patsy, I want you to just take 1 minute and tell people where you are and what you've been doing these last couple of days before I start asking you questions.
Oh, how fun. Thank you so much. I am in Salt Lake City in this call, and I'm in a 5-star beautiful hotel called Grand America. If you ever have an opportunity to be in Salt Lake City, I would highly recommend this hotel. It's absolutely stunning. I have been working alongside with Mark Victor Hansen, which some of you may not recognize his name, but I'm sure you know his books that he co-created along with Jack Canfield are called Chicken Soup for the Soul. That's the series of which almost 100 million have been sold. And the only book that's outsold Chicken Soup is actually the Bible. So it's kind of fun to be working with my dear friend and partner, Mark Victor Hansen. In addition to Mark, I have been working alongside Robert G. Allen, who is a 5 times New York Times bestselling author. His books are Nothing Down, Nothing Down for the 90s, and now currently Nothing Down for 2000, as well as Multiple Streams of Income and Multiple Streams of Internet Income. Mark and Bob co-authored a book, which Janet and Chris were very involved with as well, called The 1 Minute Millionaire, The Enlightened Way to Wealth. Well, Mark and Bob are two of my giant mind thinkers that have partnered up with me for several years now in anything that they put together that is requiring a lot of personal attention, in that they have a membership fee of either $10,000 for a 2-day event or $25,000 to come to 6 events in a period of about 14 months. And 2 of those events are international, and right now I'm with those people here in Salt Lake City. And if I could just take another maybe 30 seconds, may I have that time, Chris and Janet?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Good. Patsy,
you have to say you just came back recently from one of those international
events. Yes.
I don't want you to tell the whole story. Just tell people where that was.
We were on a beautiful small yacht, private ship yacht, actually called the Paul Gauguin, which only has 300 passengers and 1.5 house, help per customer. So it was this very elegant cruise through Tahiti. So it was very fabulous. Great memories that were made there. But here we were on Saturday. We went skiing in Park City and then attended the Sundance Film Festival festivities, and I was able to arrange through NYU a private cocktail party at Robert Redford's restaurant. We just had a very huge amount of fun. The next day, we had a tour of the Mormon Tabernacle Convention Center and heard a private broadcast screening of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, which was on one, how we all have these goal lists of things we want to do in our life. Well, that was clearly on my list to be able to hear this magnificent, beautiful, huge choir perform, and in this facility with an organ that had 7,300 pipes staring at you. And when you get to this, no matter what your faith, no matter what your religion, and you arrive at this place in Salt Lake City and you get to this, what they call Temple Square, and there's just building after building and these huge facilities, you get to the feeling that really this Temple Square for the Mormon faith is probably the only equivalent that I know of in the United States that would rival the Vatican. So it's like our Vatican City here and with no disrespect to the Vatican, because obviously there's no comparison to anything on the planet, but if I could say a knockoff, a much smaller scale, but the same amount of, you're blown away at the size and the artwork and the statues and the delivery system and the commitment to their faith.
Patsy, I want to ask you a question, okay? Because I know you could keep telling us how incredible this experience was.
Yeah, it's all yours.
Because I'm getting it. But, I know everybody would like to know this great question that we've got for you.
Oh, great.
Because we don't know anyone who lives a more passionate life than you. Can you share us how you manage to always be so turned on and excited about your life? Because it is always, when I talk to you, how are you? And it is always great.
Thanks, Janet. I love that question. And I don't know if it's just the way a person looks at whatever's in front of them, if it's about sitting down and saying to yourself, okay, I'm here for X amount of time. There was a higher plan for me. How am I going to get it if I don't step out in under those skinny branches? And when you're on the, like if you stay on the thick branch of a tree and you just sit there and watch life, it's when you crawl out that the best fruit is on the very end of the branch. And I like to get out there on those skinny branches. And when you're on the skinny branches, you got to kind of be excited, because you never know if it's going to like snap or break or go, or you're going to grab that golden apple or whatever it may be. I guess it's because I know that I'm only here for a certain amount of time, and I want to fill it with every capacity. When I was a little girl at 3 or 4, maybe 5, I started to do some productions on plays, you know, just nothing huge, just community theater and through schools. And I got the desire to experience everything. So for a time I thought that maybe I would be a movie star, an actor, so I could play all the roles of all the visions I wanted in my life when I was a child. I think if you go back to that person that you are as a child, and what did you want to do when you were 4 and 5?
Now, Patsy, do you feel that the passions, those things that you loved so much as a child and as you got older, do you feel that they've helped you to get clear about the reason you're here on the planet?
Oh, that's a really deep question. So let me make sure I get it. So you think if I think back as my time as a child, that that's what helped me decide my passions now?
No, you were just talking about being a child and all the things that you wanted as a child. And whether as a child or as an adult, the things that you loved, the things that were most important to you, the things that you were passionate about, do you feel that those things have helped you understand what your mission in life is, what your purpose for being here is?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so
I think it's more like as I go back and reflect, that how I just wanted to do so many things that I thought that then as I went through the school system and the education system, you start to think, no, you have to pick one thing. And now I realize what turns me on, back to Janet's original question, is how can I be so excited and what keeps me turned on? It's the fact that I can go back to that childhood vision of mine and say, but I can do it all. I can create a nonprofit foundation. I can travel with multimillionaires. I can write a book. I can, because I can. I'm the one that says I can't, or I can.
Yeah.
And I just say, yes, I can.
Great. So the fact is, you're constantly in the company of billionaires, of famous authors and speakers, and you're connected to anyone, to everyone, it seems like. So how is it that you've been able to be close to so many amazing people? Is it just this thing that you believe you can?
I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, I reflect back to when I got into the real estate business when I was just with 2 small babies, and my oldest was 2 and a half, and my youngest was 6 months old, and I really had to support myself. I didn't have any child support, and just got into this business. And my very first sale was to Hugh Hefner's partner. And I remember picking up the phone after hearing about a property and saying, geez, this sounds like something Hugh Hefner would own. And everybody said, do you know him? And I said, no, but I have something I'm sure he must want. And I guess it was not even worrying about the fact that I'd never sold a piece of property, that I didn't know him, that I just picked up the phone and started making a few phone calls to realize, and that was before the Internet, where you can find anybody now on the Internet, anybody you can reach now that we have the Internet. Then I had to do a little research. I just always felt like, why not? And I think so it comes with that why not attitude. Why do people want to be around me? Why do those kinds of folks like to be around me? Why do they seek my counsel? It has to be because I have that why not attitude. Why not? Why shouldn't we be able to do that? Let's look at it. Let's do a point to point. If we can get from A to Z by bypassing certain amount of steps and quickly getting there quickly, why not make it happen?
Now, Patsy, being around you, you know, what I've noticed is you exude, and I think everyone notices, this self-confidence. And we know this is one of your keys to success. So what tips can you give our readers about how to maintain their confidence even in the midst of trying circumstances?
Well, we all have those, don't we?
Yeah. Well, we do.
Wow.
We've seen them, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we walked out.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm. Then you really have to go to your bigger purpose. For me, that's what it is. I mean, you're asking me, and that's it. I go to my bigger purpose, and I've had very, very serious trying times, as you well know. Yeah. If you go to the oh my God side, you know, I've been kidnapped at gunpoint. I was poisoned in Vietnam. I was overdosed by my doctor. I was paralyzed. I was in a wheelchair. I had to use a walker for 3 years. You know, when you hear all the good stuff, you forget that there's also the other side. And so how do you keep that positive attitude, and how do you keep that ability to stay stay connected and not want to disengage yourself when you have many challenges like this put in front of you. You just go to the fact that you are here for a bigger purpose. And the sooner you get out of your little self and you get into that bigger self that your higher power or God or your Allah or whatever you choose to call has a bigger purpose for you here, then you quickly get over it.
Now, you know, Patsy, I'm going to go back to this question I asked you earlier and do it from a little different angle. Because
all right.
Janet and I believe, and we share with people, that we believe that one's passions, the things that you love most in your life, are the clues or the guideposts to what's your personal destiny, your personal mission, what your higher purpose is in life. Because, you know, a lot of our listeners, they say, well, I don't know what my higher purpose is. I don't know how to find it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to discover it. You know, fine, I should go back to my higher purpose, but I don't know how to get there. What would you tell those people?
All right. I like the wording of that better. I think I can answer that question more clearly now. Yeah, you know, I go back and I look at the fact that I, as a child, and I really think you do go back to your, what did you love as a child? Because when you're a child, you are still so close to that higher power. You go back for many of us, and even those that have had a trying childhood. And mine was a wonderful childhood. I'll bet not perfect, because at 9 years old, my mother came down with multiple sclerosis, and I was the oldest daughter of 5 children, which meant there was the end of my childhood at age 9. But I still look at that point of my childhood was a happy childhood. It just wasn't a perfect, and I don't know what perfect is anymore. Okay, so what we do is we go back and say, what did I love then? I loved parties. And I loved when we set the table for Thanksgiving and we put up all the good dishes and all the fine silver. And we cooked for days. Well, Jan and Chris, you've been to my home. What do I love to do?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's not just your home, Pat. I mean, for Mark and Bob, for some of your biggest clients, one of the things you're most amazing at is putting together these incredible sets, really, for these top speakers and trainers and for these big events for some of your top clients.
Yes. So I guess the answer to that is go back to that moment or moments when there was No. When the no didn't exist in your life. That when you were a child and you said, but I like it and I want it. Mm. What was it that you wanted?
Mm.
When no one said no to it. Because it was your dream. You had it before. And what happens as you go through life. And let me just tell you this. I love to learn, but I am a horrible student in school. But I love to learn. And so, as a matter of fact, one of the worst whoopings I got as a child was in fifth grade when I got all Fs on a major midterm report card and 1D. The only D was in religion, because when you go to Catholic school, they don't give you an F in religion because it's reflection on the nuns. So, even though you do really bad in school, I mean, couldn't have that been at a point where I labeled myself as unsuccessful?
Sure.
Couldn't have I labeled myself at that point a total loser?
Yeah, you could have.
I didn't.
I know. That's what's so amazing about you.
Well, it's just saying to yourself, hey, it's just a learning lesson. That's all. No matter how bad something is, you got to look at it and say, this was a gift, I just don't know it yet. And it'll come to me, no matter how horrible. The only gift I can't understand, of course, would be the loss of your own child. I mean, that is a gift I cannot understand. However, I'm sure that at some point, it's there, too.
You know, now, Patsy, we were just talking about dreams. And I want to talk about one of your dreams that you manifested not just very, very recently.
Yes.
You and your partner organized the very first children's book festival ever held in Orange County, California.
Yes, I'm so proud of that.
I am really, really proud. You got sponsors, you arranged the venue, you attracted companies to rent booths, and you drew over 10,000 people to this amazing event. It all started from an idea in your head. Will you use this project as an example and walk us through the process that you went through for taking a concept and making it manifest in the world?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, let me give credit where credit is due first, because that is always keeps my integrity straight. The idea actually came to my partner's mind, which is Barry Ackerman, and he came to me after saw me working with Mark and Bob and said, "You know, Pat, we really need a children's book festival in Orange County. There just is nothing." And he said, "Will you partner with me?" And I said no, and I said I was too busy to come back. And he came back in 6 months, and he said, "Will you do it now?" And I said, "All right." So here's the step-by-step process, Jenny and Chris. I said, "I won't say yes until we sit down and spend a day visualizing it and writing a mission statement and a vision statement as best we can, which we'll tweak and alter, and write what does it look like in 5 years." And we did. We went on my magic patio where, you know, how we sat with Monsuk that day and created magic. And I have a magic patio where we sat out there and we spent 4 or 5 hours. Just what does it look like? What would it take? And just visualized it as best we could. And did it make sense? And what would it cost? And where would the money come from? And then I do one more step. I do this step with a lot of people that I coach that want to know, you know, how to put on seminars or they want to put on an event. I say, you're walking out of the room, or as I was, I'm leaving the campus, and I have evaluation forms in my arms. And I sit down in my car with a bottle of water, and I start reading the evaluations. What did the people leaving the festival, what did the people leaving the seminar, what did the people leaving your shop, whatever it is you're trying to expand, what are the evaluations saying? This was so great because. So I actually start from that place first. I'm reading evaluations. Not only do I see it done, I'm reading the comment cards. Then I go back and I say, who wrote that? Were they parents? Were they children? Were they students? Were they teachers? Were they publishers? Were they authors? And I went, oh, that's who wrote that statement. Now how do I find them? So I just, again, start with the end in mind, but more than the end, I'm reading the evaluations. So then from the evaluations, I go to who wrote it, how do I find them? And then as far as my major sponsors that I was able to attract for this event, I go, who wants, so the people that wrote the evaluations, the teachers, the parents, the authors, the illustrators, who wants those people? So then I went, oh, well, Radio Disney, Time Warner, Comcast Cable, KOCE-TV, PBS. So I just start backing up. And then all of a sudden you go, all right, how do I reach them? I go to their website. I see if they're interested in literacy. And you just keep going back and back and back. Then you sit down, you draw out your plan.
Now, Pat, I missed, how do you get those evaluations in the first place?
Mine were mentally.
Uh-huh.
But you can do it physically as well. You get any number of ways, Christy. You can have it where they're filling it out as they're leaving, as they go to a booth, and you have a drawing, and you say, put your evaluation in here for a free car. I mean, there are all kind of people that wanted to donate big items to us when they realized a couple of things. And I think this is really a critical part for your listeners, Janet, Chris, is your idea big enough? And this is one of the things, you know, if you do the hair out, turtle squirrel, you know, study that you know, our friend Alan Fadden created, I'm an owl, which means I'm an advancer. I like to move projects forward. And I'm an owl hair, so I also have ideas. But my owl, your people that like to advance ideas on your team, it's got to be big to have someone that's like me. I don't like to advance small projects. I'm not challenged enough. I want something huge. I came up with an idea for Habitat for Humanity. They love it. I'm also going to NYU to work with their team with New York University to come up with a fundraiser idea. If it's big, your advancers like stuff big. So,
yeah, you need to stop for a minute because most of our listeners are not familiar with this
this model that you're talking about.
Okay.
What you've been talking about is the importance of a team. Clearly, in creating the Children's Book Festival, you created a team. You started with you and Barry, and then you enlarged the team through this process. But talk to people about these different qualities of what you're saying is hare and turtle and squirrel and owl. Talk to them about why that's important. What do those things mean, and what role do those people play on a team?
Absolutely. And it really does describe the next step of what we had to do is Barry and I did everything for a while by ourselves, and then we had to get a committee because obviously there's volunteers to be gathered, and we had over 250 volunteers that day, and that needed a committee, and we had to have food, and that needed a committee, and we had to have entertainment, and that needed a committee, and panelists and authors and illustrators. So that is what we call this developing your team. Critical part of having anything accomplished is having people that fill what you don't. Barry, my partner in the book festival, is a pure hare.
And what is a hare?
Pure hare is an idea generator. Okay. They are not good detail.
Like a Mark Victor Hansen.
Oh, hare's hare. He's... Yes, and Marshall Thurber. He's another hare. He's a hare turtle, which is even more rare. I'll go through it first. Hare is your idea person. And this is basically one of those personality profiles. You'll hear them as drivers. You'll hear them as Heidis, and they're just different terms for the same thing. My friend Alan Fadden and your friend Janet and Chris, he's the one that's created these more fun names because it just seems more more pleasant to call somebody a turtle than a controller.
And it's easier to remember too.
And it's easier to remember. So your hare is your idea guy or gal, and your owl is your advancer. And that's where my company name came from, Advance Now, and I'm called the Advancer. You're a turtle or your tortoise.
What is an advancer?
Your advancer is the one that can see the entire project with one look. So it's like when people say to me, I have this idea, and they start telling it to me, and they start going into detail, and I always go, stop, stop. And they go, what? I go, I already see it. I see it done. I see you turning off the lights and walking out the door. I'm so quick at seeing it already done that sometimes I have to remember the virtue of patience and silence and just let people say it, you know, even though I already see it. And I'd go, I'm just trying to be patient. I already see it. I'm done, because that's my owl.
So owls, would you say owls are also, you could say, good strategists?
Absolutely.
And for creating the plan, the overall,
yes.
Bringing all the diverse elements together to create a workable plan. Great.
Yes.
Now the next one is a turtle. What's a turtle?
The turtle is your attorney, your CPA, your person that will stop you from going to jail, will keep you from going being reported to the IRS.
So they're the ones who see the problems that could come.
Exactly. Right. And you never want them around your hares.
Right.
Because they'll fight all the time.
Right. Good.
So what you have to do is you let your creative thinkers sit down with your owls or your advancers. They come up with a plan, and then separate from them being together, you take it to your turtle or your refiner,
right.
And you say, what have we forgotten? Where are we going to get in trouble with this plan? And they'll go, oh, strike this, strike that. This is illegal in 32 states, and you're going to get thrown in jail here. And then you bring it back to the owls and the turtles, and they'll say, it's illegal in 32 states. That means it's okay in 23. You know, we'll just look for the positive side of it and say, well, if we'll just go market it in those states then. So they won't see it as the hares and owls won't see it as a problem. But they'll see that, okay, then we have to stay out of the areas we'll get into trouble, or look and see if they can fix it. And you really need them. Now, fortunately for me, my daughter is my executive assistant, and her name is Michelle Burns. She's a turtle. She's a turtle, and she's also a little bit of an owl. She's also an advancer. So for me, I have no patience to sit down and create a form with everybody's name on it, and when they're checking in, I don't want to do that. But she's very good at that. So she's very good at seeing, this has to be in an organized fashion so that it's readable and manageable. I can tell her how to do it, but then she'll go do it. And that's also the fourth category is your squirrel. Now, your squirrel are your, the squirrel in my life is a lady by the name of Georgiana. Georgiana comes to my office twice a week and just cleans up after me. You should see my office, Janet, Chris. It looks so good now.
Oh, isn't that great? Now, squirrels, they're the doers, right?
They're the doers.
They're the ones who love accomplishment. They love to implement things. They
yes.
get their joy and excitement from a job well done, right?
Absolutely. She would no more want to touch my computer, but just for fun, after she put away all my Christmas decorations, she just reorganized my linen closet because it was fun. But, you know, it's like, what? The linen closet you think is fun? So it's just really, they're wonderful in your life. They're just wonderful in your life. But they also have their pluses and minuses. For instance, if they come back and see that you've messed up things, they're not always real happy. And so we had to have that conversation. No, Georgiana, this is why I pay you. So you have to learn to like that when I make messes.
Cassie, I found if everybody wants to learn what they are, then they can go to the 1 Minute Millionaire site, www.oneminutemillionaire.com, and hit under Tools, and you'll see the HOTS, H-O-T-S survey, and you can take the survey and find out whether you're a hare, an owl, a squirrel, or a turtle. And
it's easy. It's like, what, 12 questions or not
yeah,
even questions? They're not even questions. It's just preferences.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And you know what? It's actually absolutely true. I'll tell you, I had a company, a mastermind company, and we were all hares. And I'll tell you, it was big on ideas, and we really didn't have a lot of follow-through. In a lot of, do you know what I'm saying?
You need the implementation.
It was top heavy, and everybody was brilliant, completely brilliant. So for all of you that want to create an ideal team, this is really, I'm so glad you brought this up tonight. Thank you.
Well, let me share with you another example. Marshall Thurber,
you know
our good friend Marshall. I don't know if these folks know Marshall, but.
Yeah, just explain who Marshall is.
Marshall and I were partners in a separate business for about a year, and then I just got too involved with the book festival, and he got involved in another business, and so we've just kind of put that on the back burner for now.
But tell everybody Marshall did in the past before
you. You've got it. It's coming. So Marshall Thurber is the Einstein of our time. He doesn't like to be called that, but he is. He is one of the few people on the planet that has an IQ of 300, and they actually think it may be higher than that because there's just no test that tests higher than 300. He was W. Edward Deming's personal associate for 8.5 years. And those of you that are not familiar with Mr. Deming, he was sent to Japan to help rebuild the country after we dropped the nuclear bomb on them. And he did, and he helped them organize and restructure. Then he came back to the United States with a plan to build more effective, cost-effective, and more economic cars, and he was thrown out of Detroit and sent back to Japan where they seemed to like him so much better, and went right straight to Toyota, and with Toyota and Marshall Thurber created Lexus. They then went to Sony and turned around Sony. Marshall is one of the most brilliant people on the planet. He is a good friend of Janet and Chris's and a dear friend of mine. And when Marshall he's got clients all, he's a recovering attorney. We always kid each other about that. But, and he also started a company in San Francisco called Hawthorne Stone. And at Hawthorne Stone, it was a real estate company and a real estate development company. They started the purchasing run-down Victorian homes and turned them into the colorful homes, the Victorian homes of San Francisco that you see now. Marshall Thurber and his company is personally responsible for the Victorian homes and the turnaround of Victorian homes in San Francisco. There just isn't anything fantastic that he hasn't done. He's also the creator of a program called Money and You, and a lot of people have been through that. And the point that I want to make about this with the hair off turtle squirrel issue is that Marshall wrote this new seminar for Holiday Inn, Sheraton, Intercontinental Hotel. Sorry, it took me a couple tries to get there. Intercontinental Hotels in Asia. They had them do these seminars in five of their hotels in four different countries. He gathered a group of us at his home in Santa Barbara, and he wanted to make sure that he had hares and owls and turtles and squirrels, and he beta tested us, and he's just such a hare. He's such a hare, and so when the turtle would get up to speak, he'd become a little offensive, and then he would just go into complete apology and say, "I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. This is why I invited you. Please forgive me." Because he had such ownership to the seminar. And he does have turtle qualities as an attorney. He also has that in him, but not against his own project. He did have some, you know, he did have to remind himself, and he's the most humble of people I know as well. So he would be embarrassed if he even knew we were talking about him. So he's just that way. But it's interesting. So when you get an idea and you wanted to know, is it ready for marketplace, or is it ready to launch, or you have a website and you want to test it, you want to make sure you don't have people just like you looking at it.
So when you created the Children's Book Festival, you and Barry started, and then you created a larger team with all these committees. How did you go? I mean, that's still a long way from getting 10,000 people and getting famous authors, the children's book authors to come. How did you do all that?
It really is just, again, a step-by-step process. It's just putting one foot in front of the other. We did have a great committee. I would, everywhere I go, I tell people, I would just say, "Hi, we're going to have a children's book festival." Ah, you know what? Here's the magic. And this is what I didn't finish earlier, so thank you for this question, for getting me back on what I wanted to share with people. When you see a need not being filled, and you are the person to fill it, you can't help but succeed. So this was my point about owls like something big.
Yeah.
Barry came to me and said, "We've got the UCLA LA Times Festival of Books in Los Angeles, a 50-minute ride from Orange County, where I live, 50 minutes with no traffic, an hour and a half with traffic. Young families having a very hard time to get there. UCLA LA Times Festival of Books is a two-day event, and they get 250,000 people. Last year, they grossed $2.2 million from this book festival." And that interests me.
Yeah,
that interested me. And it interested me also because I do have a huge desire to help increase literacy. That could be a whole other topic. We could spend a lot of time on that. For instance, in the state of California, 89% of all the male inmates are illiterate. Prescription bottles being misread is to the tune of ER visits, $7 billion, because they couldn't read the prescription bottle. The list goes on and on and on and on. And trust me, that would be my privilege to just come back and spend an entire conversation about the issue of literacy and reading and starting to love to read as a child is where it begins. It's very hard to learn to love to read at 30 and 40 or 50. It really should be as a child. And there's nothing better than meeting an author or meeting an illustrator or watching this great illustrator come and teach kids how to draw cows, you know, these comical cows, and it was packed. And sitting down and listening to wonderful authors read to children and sign their books, and watching the skateboard mom who's got this whole series of books. She's been in USA Today and People magazine, watching her on the stage, doing her tricks, and then coming down and just sitting on the grass with these kids with their skateboards. And, oh, please, they're gonna live to read because they've actually put a real person with it. It's become alive. It's become alive and passionate. And that's what we tried to create. So the everywhere I went, I'd say, gee, we're having a children's book festival. And I was at a Hanukkah party at some friend's home in Newport Beach, and we were going around the room saying what we do. And I said, well, I'm founder of a children's book festival, and two ears popped up and said, oh, I want to know about that. And here he was, Newport Beach Man of the Year, principal for 30 years, and two of the most popular elementary and junior high schools. Talk about make it happen, people. Oh, bingo. That's how we get 250 volunteers. All you need is Scott Paulson to pick up the phone and say, okay, you tell your teachers we need 50 from your school. Goodbye. Okay, you tell your teachers. I mean, we just had them coming out of the woodwork. Actually, we had more volunteers than we knew what to do with.
Now, you mentioned this word, this phrase, and I want to really focus on that for a moment, because our dear friends Mark Victor Hansen and Bob Allen talk a lot about make-it-happen power. You are famous for being a make-it-happen person. And how does one develop that ability to make things happen? And what you just described for us is that one of your secrets is that you discover other people who make it happen. So tell us, what's the secret to gaining that power, that ability to just make things happen?
One word.
Okay.
Enthusiasm.
So that means really being passionate about what it is you're doing, right?
Bingo.
Oh, good.
Now, really, when you talk to somebody, and, I mean, haven't you ever seen it when you're like, and we're going here, and we're going there, and it's, you know, instead of, like, for instance, preparing for this trip for Salt Lake City, you know, we had all these people we were trying to, it's like herding cats, you know, you got about 100 people, you're trying to get them from one place to the next, and so I said, and instead of saying, so we're going to meet out in front and get in vans and go here, I'd say, and so what we're going to do is we've got party vans. You call it a party van instead of just a van. It's the way you word it. It's the enthusiasm in your voice. We're going to have a children's book festival right here in Orange County. Can you believe it? Isn't it about time? How can anybody say, boring? No.
Really?
What they say is, how can I help?
Yeah.
And what you want is to be so passionate about what you're doing and that it's filling a need, not being fulfilled.
Yeah.
You cannot fail.
Okay. Cool.
So, Patsy, another thing that I know you're very known for, and as Chris used the word famous, for creating, creating an uplifting, dignified image. You're a master at that, and which is, of course, one of the key reasons that Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen rely on you to be in charge of their most valuable clients. So what tips can you give our listeners for presenting themselves and the things they are doing in a way which will really create a very favorable, strong presentation?
A favorable impression is a really delicate, it's a delicate question. And the reason I say that is because I don't think anybody wants to be anything but favorable. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says, oh, good morning, I wonder how many people I can offend today. I think we really start off by saying, you know, what good can I do today? I think if we start off with that, what good can I create today? And always position yourself from that point of view first. And then I guess it also has to do with where you're putting your focus. If your focus is on you, then you will never make a favorable impression. If your focus is on paying attention to what is happening at that time, looking at the situation, whether it be a physical situation, an emotional situation, or a human being, and really being present in that person's space or in that situational space, you'll never make a favorable impression. You'll be a moment flash instead of a lasting impression. And for me, when I'm in the presence of someone, I do my level best to say, to be right there with them. If someone comes up and stands behind them, I'll say, excuse me just a moment. This is going to take a moment. Would you mind sitting and waiting? I go right back to the person I'm with. I do everything I can to be completely in that present moment. And I have to think that has a lot to do with it. And that also happened to me as a public speaker. You know, I did seminars for 16 years. I was hired by companies such as Century 21 and Coldwell Banker and Mary Kay Cosmetics. And, I mean, the list is extensive. After 15 years, I've spoken in every capital in the United States, every capital in Providence through Canada, in Puerto Rico, Alaska, Hawaii, everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And what happened for me is in the beginning, I was a strong speaker, not a good speaker. A strong speaker, and I got their attention. I taught what I had to teach them, and I made sure they respected me. And they didn't like me. What happened was I was so insecure as myself as a speaker, I overpowered it to compensate for my lack of self-confidence from the platform. Now, I knew what I was talking about. I was talking about, you know, how to close sales. Like, I was number 8 in the country with Coldwell Banker, so I did a lot of sales. I knew what I was talking about. But I didn't have the confidence from the stage because I was comparing myself to superstars like Tom Hopkins and Mike Ferry. And for heaven's sakes, there weren't even that many female speakers on the circuit at this time anyway. So I'm out there on that skinny branch again and compensating by being bitchy almost. Excuse my French, but I was, you know. And one day I just stopped caring about me and started caring about my audience and not worrying about what they were thinking about me, but whether I was being able to help them. And once I shifted to that, everything shifted in my speaking career. People would come up to me, and it just was totally different. So I guess it goes back to, Janet, your original question. How do you create that impression? You don't think about yourself. Quit thinking about you.
You know, I'm so glad that that was your answer, because I tell you, Pat, that was a major aha for me when I was running Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen's speaker program. And we had 100 speakers, and many of them were very afraid to go out and speak in front of groups. And, you know, they said, well, how do you do it? And I said, well, you know, the only thing I know to do is that before I even walk out on the stage, I just close my eyes and go, okay, what can I give to them today?
Yes.
And that way, the energy shifts completely, and that's what I hear you saying.
Absolutely.
You know, instead of what my experience will be, and I still see it at times, you know, sometimes it creeps in there where I forget to even do that myself, and in situations where it's important, where, you know, I'll be going, God, I hope they like me, you know.
Yeah.
All
those normal feelings.
Yeah, and the minute I do that, I get swallowed up, and it slaps me in the face because I'm not present with the moment. And so I'm disconnected from myself and everyone. And, you know, many of you listeners, you know, there have been times on the calls where I just haven't taken the time to connect to myself. And people hear it. They hear it. You know, we all have these, especially this group, I'll tell you, with Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, they have high antennas. You know, where they can really hear when the energy is clean and when it's coming from a place of really being present. And so I'm really glad you shared this with everyone, because it's such a simple thing, and yet it can really elude one.
I agree with everything you've said, except the word simple. You know, I know what we're saying is simple, yet when you're in high need, and you really are hurt, it's really hard to not focus on yourself, you know. And then you want that attention, and really, and there are times that it's just so hard to let go of your own ego and your own need, and just be open. It's just sometimes hard.
And you know, Pat, it's so interesting listening to you, because knowing you personally, as Janet and I do, we know that every single person that interacts with you, I think, appreciates most your incredibly warm, loving, open heart. And it's very interesting to hear you talk about the transition you made as you were a speaker, because in our experience, you have one of the biggest hearts of anyone we know. And one thing that's interesting to me is this whole idea of passion, which, of course, is the focus of these calls. Passion is usually associated with the heart, right?
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you think that the passion that you feel for life and that you so eloquently express, both tonight and every time we talk to you, if you think that the passion you feel for life and what you're doing has anything to do with your ability to keep your heart open.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If you would talk a little bit about this whole thing of keeping your heart open and what's required to do that.
I think it just goes back to what we said earlier, Chris and Janet, is that, and to your listeners as well, is to know that you're here for a bigger purpose. And know that you would have been given this bigger purpose if there wasn't the complete belief that you could do it. And so if you stay open in your heart to know that if you fail in any way, it's not a failure, it was a learning experience. If you come up to stumbling blocks, it's just about saying, looking at it and saying, well, and I've heard Janet say this so beautifully, wasn't that interesting? That was interesting. You know, and instead of saying, that shot me down, that killed me. Why would we use words like that? You know, a woman that we both admire, of course, is Byron Katie, and one of the things that made a big impact on me, what she said, was your mind has one job, and that's to do whatever you tell it to do. So when you say that killed me, or your brain's going, oh, you're killed, you're dead. Okay, I guess you're dead. You know, and so we just to stay open and just to say, that's an interesting experience. I'm learning through this. I love this. This is the way I like to see it go. This is more right, is to continue to keep that open feeling about whatever it is that you want to accomplish. Critical.
Well, and Patsy, that's what you do so well, I'll tell you. Now, Patsy, at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, we believe strongly in the ability of intention to manifest outcomes. What is your current most important project, and what intention would you like us here at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, along with our readers and listeners, to hold for you?
Oh, I love this question. You're going to let me. Oh, my gosh. I get to have all these wonderful people on the call have their intention on my biggest project. I'm so jazzed. That's just the best blessing yet. Currently, in addition to my work, I actually have three passions. My work with Mark and Bob in this inner circle function. The second is the Children's Book Festival. So, briefly with the Children's Book Festival, if you have any, you know people that have written a children's book and would love to have the exposure, please send them to my website, which is kids, K-I-D-S, bookfestival.com. KIDSBOOKFESTIVAL.COM. And just send them to the author's page or the illustrator's page and let them know about the festival, which is the first Sunday of October of this year, which will be October 2nd in Orange County, California. But the third project that has my heart and my passion that I would love to set some intentions with your beautiful callers this evening is about my book called Grandparents Rock, The Grandparenting Guide to the Rock and Roll Generation. And the reason is that I believe that as we age into this blissness of grandparenthood, that we still are, the people I socialize with anyway, are still actively contributing to society financially. I'm still gainfully employed, still making a wonderful, abundant life for myself. We're spiritually contributing. I'm still very active spiritually, not only in my with my own family, but in the community. And we're philanthropically involved. I'm very involved in philanthropy, both in reading, literacy with the Life Foundation, our friends, our mutual friends, Mansuk and in Wales. And we're doing things. We're active. We're not quiet. That's the image I want to portray as a grandparent, contributing to society and to our families. So the purpose of the book was that I wrote, I'm an old rock and roller, I sang in rock bands as a young person, I did a USO tour scheduled in Vietnam, although I did have an accident which prevented me from going, and I sang at Disneyland. I've been very active in the music generation of the 60s and 70s, and every chapter is written after a hit song from our past, and it talks about the thrill of being a grandparent based on this hit song, like Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Purple People Eaters is a chapter that talks about how to tell outrageous bedtime stories, and just how to have fun with your grandkids and still be a contributing adult to society. So my intention is, first of all, I see this book, and I would like to have your support in my intention. I see this book as the latest, hottest, number one gift book on the market. I see this book tied into the fact that it is sold with a cool jacket or T-shirt marketed inside of a tote bag. My T-shirts say, Grandparents Rock Orange County, Grandparents Rock Maui, Grandparents Rock St. Louis, Grandparents Rock Orlando, and Grandparents Rock New York. So I've got these logoed T-shirts with the city underneath it. I'm creating jackets to go with it. I've got tote bags. I already have 14 stores that want it, and I've only got the book half written. So I would like to set the intention that I get the other half of this book done so that I can get it to my editor to be edited and out in print by April 1st, which is my intention. So if I could have all of the listeners and all of your network and with Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supporting that intention, that would just make me entirely happy.
Oh, so consider it done. And, Patsy, I just have to mention for all of our members, for our Real Life Legends members, I am so happy to tell you that Pat has made available to you as your free gift this month, from this call, a chapter from her book, Grandparents Rock. So you'll be able to read this chapter and get a taste for this amazing book that she's created. And Pat, how can people go and order copies of the book or find out more about the book?
Thank you. The book, I do have a website that you can go to, but I do want to address the issue about the chapter that I sent to for all your readers, all your listeners and readers, is to let you know that you are the first people to see this chapter. I haven't shown it to my children. I haven't shown it to anyone, not Mark, not Bob, like anyone. As a matter of fact, my editor hasn't even seen it. So if there are grammarics I don't have, I mix tenses, all those things. This was poured out from my heart straight to you. So please know that it will be, it will change not in its verbiage and wordage, just in its perhaps tenses, so that if there's any grammar, please do not hold that against me. So I just want to make that very clear. You can go to my website, which is grandparentsrock.com, GRANDPARENTSROCK.com, and you can find out all kinds of information. The pictures that you'll see on the home page of the T-shirt and tote bag and the book cover is done, but the T-shirt, the tote bag will change. It is just up there as a pictorial just now because the launch will be in the spring. You'll start seeing lots of information about this book come spring. But please do go to it. You can send me an email from that at pat@grandparentsrock.com where it says email Pat. You can find out all kinds of information. In 2006, my plan is to have enough grandparents visiting this site that I will take five grandparents with two of their grandchildren between the ages of 9 and 14 to an exotic trip. And those trips are based on my connections in Washington, D.C., New York, Vietnam, Hong Kong, and many places around the planet, and we're going to vote on where we want to go. So there's just all kinds of things coming down the road, and I would love to have you go there and start visiting it. Just this last week, I got called from a movie director who went to buy GrandparentsRock.com on the web and found out I had it. So we are going to collaborate on a film in Martha's Vintage this year that she wants to do about hip grandparents. So, you guys, it's really happening, and it's very, very exciting.
Yeah, and I know it's going to happen, Pat. I really do. On this one, it's a winner.
Thank you.
When I saw that, when you showed me your book cover and you with your title, I just went, that's it. Because you know why? It's so you.
Yes, it is.
It's 100% you. You know, one thing you didn't bring up, you mentioned you had three things right now that were putting your attention and your passion. And did you want to say anything about the Inner Circle?
Well, that's my work right now with Mark and Bob. You know, they are the founders of this group called the Inner Circle, and I am very excited that I am the COO of that group, Chief Operations Officer, where I get to be with Mark and Bob on a daily basis and by phone or in person and just plan out amazing things for 100 people that have made a $25,000 commitment to be with us, the three of us, and we plan great masterminding events together with them and great memories and trips, and it's a blast.
Now, can people join?
They can certainly join in 2006 when the membership is closed for this year. They can also go to the Wealth Retreats by going to Enlightened Millionaire Institute or EMI.com. and find out about where we're having our major wealth retreat. So we just finished one in Orlando. As a matter of fact, I was just in Orlando those January 1st through the 9th with the wealth retreat. I actually spent a couple of days with my dad visiting him in Hernando, which is over on the west side of Florida. I always have to think about that. And the next one will be in Anaheim in April and September or somewhere else. So, yes, there's lots of opportunities to come to these events. I'd love to do it. And if you're with Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise and you introduce yourself to me, I'll make sure that you get right up front and talk to Mark and Bob. And if you want their books autographed, you will not have to stand in line if you just identify yourself as one of the people on this call tonight, because your connection with these two most amazing people on the planet, these two special angels that have just changed my life in so many ways. Your connection with Chris and Janet will allow you privileges with me at these events.
Oh, thank you, Pat. Now, what single idea would you like to leave our listeners with tonight? And again, thank you. That was really sweet.
Well, you have the connections, too. It's just that they would just using your name, it would work. It's just that the group has gotten so large that it's just a little insane there now. What single idea would I like to leave your listeners with tonight? Boy, one idea. Live your passion. Dream bigger. And believe in yourself. And then create some action. That would be it.
Those are powerful words right there. The very powerful ideas. Pat, thank you so much for being with
us
tonight.
Thank you, Patsy.
You are remarkable, and as always, it's the greatest treat in the world to spend time with you.
Well, I appreciate it, and I just send out lots of love to all of the people that stayed on the call, and thank you for your time. It's the most precious gift you have, and you've just shared it with us, and I am grateful for all of you for being on this call. It is the hugest compliment you can give to me personally, and I thank you and send you lots of love and lots of blessing and tremendous success to all of you.
Hey, thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
For all of our listeners, those of you who are not yet members of the Passions of Real Life Legends call, then I encourage you to take this opportunity. As a member, you can receive a recording of this call. You can receive it in about 2 weeks. You'll be able to download the transcript of the entire call. You'll also receive the free gift from Pat, of a chapter of her book, as well as the recordings, transcripts, and gifts from each of our each of the calls that we are doing in the future and that we've done in the past. You'll have access to the archives of our interviews with people like Dr. John Gray, the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God, Richard Paul Evans, the author of the number one best-selling Christmas Box, with Rabbi Yehuda Berg of the Kabbalah Center, and next month, Master Chejong Sha, one of the top Qigong masters in the world. And in March, on March 8th, we'll be interviewing Stephen Covey, and we're so excited that on that call in particular, Jack Canfield, the co-author with Mark Victor Hansen of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, will be co-hosting that call with Janet. So Stephen Covey on March 8th, and on March 22nd, we will be interviewing Stephen's son, Stephen M. R. Covey, who is also an absolute amazing speaker and thinker, who has written a number of books on leadership at the speed of trust, of business at the speed of trust, the whole role of trust in creating success in life. So Stephen Covey, the author of Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, he just came out with The Eighth Habit on March 8th, March 22nd, his son Stephen M. R. Covey. And also at the end of February, we'll be interviewing T. Harv Eker, who just released The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. So all of these are available to the members of our Real Passions of Real Life Legends and become a member and to be able to take advantage of all these calls, get all the recordings, get all the transcripts, get all the gifts, and have access to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise library of over 70 e-books. All you need to do is go to www.healthywealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com/elite, E-L-I-T-E dot A-S-P. Or you can just go to healthywealthynwise.com and click on step number 3 to learn about the Passions Real Life membership. So, again, thank you all for joining us tonight. We are so happy to have you with us. We hope that you'll be with us again on February 8th as we interview Master Shah. And, again, our deepest and most profound thanks to Pat Burns for being our guest tonight.
Thank you, Patsy, and thank you, everyone, for being with us. And we look forward to having you join us again and have a wonderful, wonderful evening and talk to you soon. Hi, Patsy.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Namaste.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.